We're back live with more Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Tapping in. Cubs game. 12:45 pregame today. Cubs and the Reds. So I get to be here talking a lot of Bears with you guys up until then. Actually, I will talk some Cubs after 12:25 today, because I thought PCA said something really cool this morning on the radio. It was on Inside the Clubhouse, so we are definitely going to get to that here in just a little bit. You know, the Bears' identity, I could tell you what the Bears' identity is supposed to be. It's supposed to be Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Caleb Williams. Like, that's the core, man, in terms of what the Bears want to be able to do this year with an offense. They want an adult offense that throws the football, complementary running game to set up play action, strong defensive identity to go along with this as well. But so far, they just haven't quite gotten there. There has not been liftoff with that trio. A big part of it is because Keenan Allen has not been healthy. He has not been healthy for the last 2 weeks, as you're going to find out here in just a few moments. I mean, he wasn't even healthy in the game he played in the opening game against Tennessee. He was hurting pretty badly. And in just a few minutes, I'm going to bring you a conversation. I'm going to take you into the Bears locker room. We're going to get intimate here. Into the Bears locker room, and several of us from the Bears beat got a chance to ask questions of Keenan Allen. So I promise you he'll answer all the questions that are on your mind. Want to invite callers in as well, 312-644-6767. I do love to check your text messages. We'll read some of those here in just a second as well. But right now, let us go to the phone lines, because I've been poor at getting us to the phone lines, and I want to bring in, let's go, Collier. What's going on, Collier? You're on the Score.
Hey, yes. How you doing?
I'm great, man.
All right. I just wanted to talk about Shane Waldron. I'm looking at the TV. He's got the clipboard, the paper in his hand, and he's shaking like a leaf on a tree. I'm like, what's wrong with him? He's not testing bombs. This guy is – he got to get his nerves. I mean, I ain't never seen nothing like this in my life.
Collier,
I like the guy, too. I'm hoping he can get it together. But
yeah. Collier, anything else, man?
Let's go. Yeah,
okay.
On paper, we can whoop the world.
What did you say? I heard the whoop the world part, but what was the first part?
On paper, the Bears can whoop the world with the talent they got.
Hey, man, on paper, check me out, Collier. On paper, everybody picked the Bears to have 11 wins this year. We all did it.
I rest my case. Anyway, I was hoping the Bears get a big running back. Like one of the big guys.
I know you, man. Well, hold on a second, Collier. I know you. You want Jerome Bettis back in there. You want that bus.
I want Howard back. What's his name?
Jordan Howard?
The big guy. Jordan Howard. I want him.
Jordan Howard. Oh, yeah, man. Like, Jordan Howard.
And Nagy got rid of him. Man.
Come on now. I know where you're going. You want, like, Ernest Biner, Kevin Mack from the Cleveland Browns back in the day, man.
Let me tell you something. With a back like that, if you call that play, those linemen are going to get out the way.
Oh my God! Who is the massive fullback that the Bears had for a little while that was on the New Orleans Saints all those years? I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
Oh, he was big.
He was large. He was a big one. God, yep.
Better get those linemen out the way. I guarantee they'll block.
Oh, I got it. Hey. Maybe that's it. Here it is. You ready, Collier? We're going to figure this out. Maybe you put Nate Davis at running back for the Bears on the goal line. He's not doing anything else.
I'm down with that.
I'll see you later, Collier. Get out of here.
Right,
I got to go.
Thank you for taking my call. Have a nice one.
Yeah, man. That was hilarious. God, I feel like I had really good chemistry with Collier. That was awesome. The only thing I will push back, although he was, I did laugh because it was funny talking about the handshaking thing. Look, man, that's, I'm not messing with that. I'm not touching that. Like, if Shane Waldron has some anxiety, doesn't like 90% of the American population now have or think they have some form of anxiety or depression? So, yeah, man, and if he's got something going on that we don't know about, so let's back off on the making fun of Waldron because of the shaking thing or any anxiety. Yeah, he doesn't seem particularly comfortable at all times talking to us, but we are not entitled to everybody being perfect at the podium. That's not and maybe there was a time in my life that I would, but at that point in time, man, there's a certain amount of sympathy that should be involved, and I get it. He's your offensive coordinator, but that's not a part that I want to go down. Now, that said, the call was great. The call was very good. Oh, thank you. I knew if I went to the text line. I don't know why I couldn't think of the name, though. Thanks, Grid. Gridiron Assassin from the 847. Ironhead Hayward. I'll take it a step further now. Craig Ironhead Hayward. He was a great big fat guy that played running back for the Bears for a while, but he was actually pretty good with the New Orleans Saints.
And his son is still really good in the NFL.
That's right. Yeah, so the lineage continues for the Hayward family for sure. But, yeah, I guess that guy is, if we're being serious about it, I guess that running back would be Roschon Johnson at this point, like the guy who's got a little bit more size, and he's got an engine, man. I was worried about Roschon Johnson just because he does have a slightly reckless way of running, or at least it feels that way. Like, he is, like, there's no... I'm trying to protect myself in his running style. So, which is great if as long as it lasts. And I did ask him by his locker. I was like, hey, you're going to get the ball more? And he just kind of, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. So it's a no answer at that point. And thank you for all of the texters now that are Ironhead Haywarding me on the text line. Yes, Craig. I think that was Wani era, wasn't it? I think Dave Wanstead. That might have been a Wani signing as well. Now, Craig's best days were not with the Bears. That much I can tell you. That is factual. Great stuff, though. 312-644-6767. Grody, sativa or indica? I don't even acknowledge indica. Stop yelling at Dave the Cat. I've been yelling like in my place here for the last hour and a half, and the cat hasn't moved. Maybe he's really enjoying the brand of sports talk that I'm bringing you out here. What's this guy talking about? He was the OC in Seattle for the past 3 years. Yeah, talking about Shane Waldron. I think he said Shane got fired in 2022, I think. You're right. I should have had my guard up there. I didn't have my guard up. All right, let's get to Keenan Allen, the Bears wide receiver, who I do think is going to play tomorrow. Here's all the details on what happened to him, what is going to happen tomorrow, what is going to happen in the future. Few of us around the locker of Keenan Allen yesterday at Hallis Hall.
It's been tough. It's basically the same thing you dealt with at the end of last season?
Yeah, kind of. It just kind of went into the plantar fasciitis this year.
Is that something you think you'll have to deal with and manage for the rest of the year?
Nah, that's why we, been playing it safe. Just going day by day with it, week by week, seeing how I feel. And, last week, just decided to sit it out and, still playing it day by day.
Were you in pain during the Tennessee game then, the first game? Okay. And then that was like, I'm going to give it a try.
It's been hurting since training camp. I was just able to, run through it. And, it was just a heel at that point. Just like a bruise, kind of like a spur on the heel. And, obviously tried to stop in the end zone. And then it went to the plantar fasciitis.
Is there treatment that you do for it, or is that simply a rest?
Not a lot. It's kind of hands-on stuff. Do a little joint Mohs and stuff like that.
So what is the timeline on it? Because you seemed like you were running pretty well in August until late in August. They called it a cleat issue at the time. Can you just help us understand exactly when it started up?
Probably right before the joint practice with the Bengals. Okay. Started irritating me, kind of just wear and tear type of deal. Like I said, a bone bruise, a bone spur on the heel, and like I said, it just got worse throughout the Titans game, and then had that abrupt stop where it kind of stretched him.
When you know it's happened, what's going through your mind when you know what's coming with the injury?
It's just irritating. It's kind of like a hamstring pull. Can't really do nothing about it. Kind of wait until it heals up.
Do you have to get a shot to play through it or anything? Or just tolerate the pain, I guess?
We ain't doing that.
How confident are you that it's past you now? It's not going to get re-aggravated moving forward?
I'm pretty confident in it. The training staff has done a phenomenal job getting it right, having it feeling better.
This thing might sound simple, but is this something that, like, just normal things a receiver does, cutting and running and moving? How does that affect that?
The obvious link is your foot, and you got to run on your foot. That's hard.
You're going to go ahead.
Just to clarify, do you feel better physically now that going into this game than you did going into week one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you going to give it a go tomorrow? Green light? You going to play?
Yeah, tomorrow's walkthrough, so I'll be out there.
I mean Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Today felt good. See what we come up with.
Can you watch him from the sideline in Houston and then the film from Indy? What's been your diagnosis of what's been wrong with the offense in your absence?
Just all guys, everybody. We just got to find a way to execute better, execute the plays that's being called, and, just kind of accept the challenge of, making everything right on the offense and just put it on our shoulders.
How's it been for you? When you will be in a pretty good spot with Caleb, even though you've missed some practice time and he's a rookie.
Yeah, I think we'll be fine. Football is football. I've been playing for a little while now. So hopefully I can get to my spots.
How have you dealt with the injury in terms of wanting to get in here and get off to a really good start and then having this kind of pop up on you in August going into the season, missing some games now?
Yeah, I'd rather happen now rather than the end of the season. You know, that was the main thing of, resting an extra week and just making sure we put this beside us and, be able to be healthy for the rest of the season.
Just Bears wide receiver Keenan Allen, and the great thing about Keenan Allen are guys like him who are veterans, who there's no nonsense. Like, he doesn't have time in his life to be dishonest or redirect the media. So I do believe everything that he was saying out there, and he's pretty truthful. He's like, I'm not going to go out there and try to hurt it more. So he sits out for the last couple of weeks. All that said, though, I do not have a good feeling about this right now. Obviously, he dealt with this at the end of last year. It has sprouted again, and he's right. At least it's early that they're catching it. You know, missing a couple of weeks early sure feels better than late in the season when they're playing all those divisional games. But I just have a feeling this is going to be a week-to-week thing. I don't know that there's going to be a shutdown, but I cannot imagine Keenan Allen not missing more games this year. And, he missed several games last year and still put up really, 1,400 yards last year, something like that. So it is possible, but it just feels like maximum effort that you're going to have to be dealing with here in terms of this injury and the foot and making sure it's right and not overusing it. And he's going to miss some more practices and all of that. It's just going to be, and he could overcome it in terms of the numbers and the contributions, but things feel like it's going to be a tightrope walk this year. It's going to be fragile all year with Keenan Allen. That's just what I'm feeling based on the information out there and in the locker room yesterday, and just taking his words seriously. And if you've had plantar fasciitis, then you know that it's not something that you can just treat and it goes away. So I believe it was Joakim Noah who when I first became aware of plantar fasciitis, I think it was Joakim Noah that dealt with that badly at times, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Joakim. And I was like, oh man, I mean, that just sounds horrible, because while obviously you can still play your respective sport, there's a lot of pain involved and it never really goes away. So that's a little bit of an issue right there for the Bears, because so badly everybody just wanted to see this again, their identity, this trio of wide receivers just blast off with the Bears and Caleb Williams, just get the ball to your playmakers and there's Keenan Allen open on another third down, and look at the route running, look at his work on the inside, it's terrific, and look at Roma Dunze opening him up, and DJ Moore can still be the best wide receiver here. The system isn't working yet, and you got one guy who's hurt, and I'm just not feeling great about this on a week-to-week basis, but I think as far as the week-to-week is concerned, tomorrow will be a day on which Keenan Allen will play. That was all of the like, body language, eye contact, what Matt Eberflus said. It's like Keenan, barring some sort of setback between literally now and tomorrow, if you're going to Soldier Field, you will see the full complement of wide receivers, the trio of the triumvirate of wide receivers for the first time at home, I guess. That was that right? No, they all played. They were all together in the first game against Tennessee. So, but they should be good to go. When we return, and we've got room for your calls too, 312-644-6767. Anything is on your mind, because I only got like 15 more minutes of the show, so it's a free-for-all. But there was something for you Cubs fans driving to the ballpark right now. There has been there is a player on the Cubs that has filled fans with hope, and I think the media is starting to believe in this player as well. We will bring you that Cubs player next and something very interesting that he said today. I'm Mark Grody. This is The Score.
We're back live with more Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Let me see if I can get through all the things I want to get through here in the final 10 minutes of the show. I got a couple calls. I want to talk about a certain Cubs player. The Cubs dig in at Wrigley Field, their second to the last game. Kyle Hendricks could be it for him in a Cubs uniform. Give me my 2 cents on that here as well in a second. But let us not keep Bears callers waiting. It is Bob in Woodstock. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Mark. Sounds good. Your show sounds good. I got a question. At all three games, it seems like Caleb overthrows his deep balls, and not by a foot or two, by quite a bit. And I'm just kind of wondering what the thought process, why you think that would be, because the shorter stuff, he puts some zip on it, it gets where it needs to be. It's just those long balls. I get frustrated. I'm going like, where are you throwing it? But, you know, so yeah. I just wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, Bob, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. It's a great question because it's something that I noticed a lot in training camp, in the OTAs, quite frankly. Not that he was overthrowing a ton, but when he did miss, it always felt like it was overthrow. I did pose that question to Matt Eberflus at one point in time, and he said there's nothing to read into there. I basically said maybe I'll find it at some point in time and bring it back if the issues persist. But I asked him, you know, is there anything to it in terms of why he would overthrow? And he said, no, there's nothing to it. And maybe Flus wasn't seeing it the way I was seeing it. But, you know, like first game of the year, speaking to Keenan Allen, bad overthrow to Keenan Allen. Something to keep an eye on, that's for sure. Jason from Elgin. What's going on, Jason? You're on The Score.
Hey, how's it going? I just want to ask a few questions about DeAndre Swift. You know, obviously we spent a lot of money on him in the offseason, and I feel like personally we should have gone out and got Saquon, especially with the money we had. But the way we've been using him every down back in between the tackles. Is that how they want to plan to use him, or is something different in the future for DeAndre Swift? Is it more on the offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I mean, it shouldn't look this bad. And I'll admit, like when they brought in DeAndre Swift, I thought it felt pretty good. I thought he was different from the running backs that were on the roster in terms of he's got that ability to hit home runs. He's a home run hitter. Khalil Herbert is not a home run hitter, nor is Roschon Johnson in terms of how many times did we see Herbert get caught from behind. So I did understand the signing of DeAndre Swift, but in terms of how they will attempt to continue to try to use him, yeah, they've absolutely got to make adjustments and figure out how to use the guy for whom they paid. And I don't expect to see him benched or anything like that. Like, I think he'll be starting out there at Soldier Field tomorrow. You might see more from Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson, but they're not going to put this guy away after 3 weeks. I promise you that. But we will see what happens on the goal line this week. And I was had that great call with Collier earlier. We were talking about the big boys that the Bears or that teams used to have, a little something called a fullback. Hey, well, the game is back this week. Kari Blassen game. Had somebody bring up a great Ty Halleck, great fullback in Bears history. Ty freaking Halleck. Brad Muster. I love Brad Muster. Oh, man, the Stanford guy. Matsui. Now I'm just taking you way back. Matsui blocked for Walter Payton, kids. Leon Johnson, wasn't he a Bears fullback? And this was all like Craig Ironhead Hayward. He was a fullback, right? Yeah. Or was he considered a running back? I mean, he's a big guy. Big guy. Craig Ironhead Hayward. Let me get to my Cubs thing now. Cubs getting ready. As far as Kyle Hendricks is concerned, it does feel like the end. Like, in terms of where the Cubs think they are going, I don't know if Kyle Hendricks will be back. I guess the only question that I would ask about that is, Kyle Hendricks so bad that he's not worthy of competing for a fifth starter spot on a roster? And is he not worthy of that opportunity with the Cubs? That's what I would ask. Like, is he that bad? And I'm kind of seriously asking, is Kyle Hendricks that bad that he shouldn't be in a rotation, that he should be a guy that is a spot starter for a team, a long reliever, that guy? Is he really at that point in his career? I don't know. I'd have to take a collective look at starting pitching in Major League Baseball right now, but I have a hard time thinking that Kyle Hendricks couldn't nail down a fifth starter spot. The guy on the Cubs, though, this year that has been, I don't know if revelation is the right word, because he was a highly selected player that the Cubs gave up Javier Baez to get, and that is Pete Crow Armstrong, PCA, who, when he first came up last year, looked helpless because he wasn't able to hit fastballs. This year, he was very sloppy early, and a lot of things that made you shake your head offensively and defensively. Was sent down somewhere along the line, though. He did get better and figured some things out and just let his natural talent take over. And on the overall, there was a moment earlier this year where I was like, I don't know about this guy, but I bought in. But I bought in because I love watching the guy. I love anybody who, when he walks, there's a pretty good chance he's going to be on third base within the next 2.5 minutes or so of your life. The defense is fantastic, and the offense is straight up intriguing, because I still don't know what he is. Like, is he gonna have a year where he hits 12 or 13 homers, you know, something like that? Like, that's kind of where I see him with the power, maybe at a maximum, but he's been fantastic. One of the things that he keeps getting asked this year, and understandably so, is about being a leadoff hitter, which he was not this year, and he should not have been a leadoff hitter this year. Based on what you want out of your leadoff hitter, if you are traditional that way. But he was on Inside the Clubhouse today with Bruce Levine and Ryan McGuffey, and he was, again, asked about the leadoff hitter, and I thought that this was also telling of the maturity of the player as well on how PCA answered the question of hitting leadoff here heading into game 160 of the season, 161.
You haven't seen me leading off because Ian Happ has been on an absolute tear since... This may be wrong date-wise, but since July 4th is when I feel like he took over and became the leadoff hitter of this team. Like, that was, you know, that was the role that he's fallen into, and he has been a killer. I don't know why you'd want to ever change that up, especially if we're talking about the playoff race. Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, Ian's
right.
I mean, I don't even want to know what Ian's contact rate was on the first pitch of the game, or hard hit ball rate, because it was ridiculous. And he was just, I feel like he embraced that role himself, but he did it in his own way. You know, he had a clear plan of attack, and he has stayed on that path all year. So, like, I think him moving to the leadoff spot, him being able to stick there for us and produce. I mean, because It feels like when Ian was up there in the first inning, we had a really good chance of putting at least one on the board in the first, and that's huge. You know, I mean, I and then if we're going to talk about me in this at all, it's like I've let off my whole life, you know. I've let off my whole entire life on such a different level of baseball. I don't know who I am as a leadoff hitter in the big leagues yet. But when that time comes, I'm going to, you know, I don't know how I approach it, but I'm looking forward to that day whenever that comes. But for now, that's Ian's spot to finish the year in and keep doing what Ian Happ's been doing since he started his tear.
But that is an enlightened answer to the question of, when are you going to start being the leadoff hitter, PCA? Basically saying, yo, there's a guy named Ian Happ who is so far way better at this than I am. He doesn't even want to see the numbers that Ian Happ has, because PCA knows that ain't his job right now. I mean, of course he feels like a leadoff hitter. You know what I mean? Like with that kind of speed, but he's just got to be a little bit more discerning at the plate and considering the jump that he's made this year. This is a player that will develop. I mean, we've seen it so many times in Cubs history, like the old Cubs, the pre-2015 Cubs. There was prospect after prospect after prospect that seemed to have, you know, Felix Pies and Corey Patterson's and Bobby Hill's and Kevin Ory's and Gary Scott's, all these guys, like they all had the tools, and then they didn't develop. They just did. There was never a jump, like pure talent. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the talent does not rise to the top. Cubs have seen that, but that was a different time. You know, Cubs are a little bit better about developing, it seems, since 2015. That's when everybody blossomed, and we'll see if PCA is going to be the next rose for the Chicago Cubs. Will he blossom? Kyle Hendricks pitching today out at Wrigley Field. I know you guys going to Wrigley Field right now. I know you guys will treat him great. One of the great Cubs of all time, so I'm sure that he'll get a lot of love, even if he gets battered around. But when he comes out of the game, then I hope he comes out. I do hope that they go out of their way to take him out in the middle of an inning. They better give him the standing ovation. Take care of business. Be ceremonial. Give your fans what they want, Cubs. Give them what they want. Hope you guys all have a great rest of your weekend. Thanks to Alex Kuhn for producing this show and the previous show as well. Dude's working his butt off back in our downtown Chicago studios. Thanks to Josh Rock for coming on. I'll talk to you guys later.